Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 235, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed, and now help me in my need. My Savior be, I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. And what follows, Psalter 235, the three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 23. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, My cup runneth over. As surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We hope to remember in prayer the families of Mr. and Mrs. Pete Niels and John Liefting, who at the funeral of Tanner Liefting this coming Thursday, and the classes Far West meeting, which is scheduled to continue this Wednesday at 9 a.m., Mrs. Hermina Hubrexa, who hopes to turn 84 years, and Mrs. Steny Slingeland, 87 years. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy providence and in the way of thy great mercy and in the way of thy long suffering to grant unto us and our dear children another Lord's Day, another soul's market day, then in thy faithfulness then thou wast given that the sun may arise, then the doors of thy house have been opened, and thou wast granted the opportunity insofar that it was possible to place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. Lord, may it please thee to grant a broken, a soft, and a humble heart under all thy mercies, and then thou was granted in the past week that a special day was set aside for thanksgiving. But if it would be right in our lives, then it would be Thanksgiving Day every day, and to that end, so necessary each time by renewal, to come in our guilt. And then, Lord, in this past week, then it was manifested much love for thy cause and for the church. Then thou wast given many liberal Abigails with liberal hands. And then we also do well to consider whether by thy grace, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that we have also received a heart of those spiritual Abigails with the confession of our guilt and with the prayer that thou may remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, a people that needs to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Then, Lord, thou knowest most perfectly how that each and every one has come up to thy courts in this morning hour. Then by renewal, then we have heard of that good and great shepherd that has a flock, the care for the flock, the leadings with the flock, and, O Lord, wilt thou grant many amongst us all for the goats, that it becomes such an unbearable need, so oppressed, to be given to hear of that shepherd and of that flock, and then to stand outside. And may it then become such a great need, that by thy grace, that they may be given to follow thee even from afar, and to cry mightily unto thee, that they may belong to that flock, Lord. When that takes place in reality, that is the work of thy Spirit. And to that end, in this hour, we humbly ask thee, that thou may bless thy holy word. It is written in thy word, that by the foolishness of preaching, that thou shalt save some. Wilt thou so work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old? Oh, may it please thee to arouse to such a holy jealousy, a forsaking of the world and the sins thereof, and a following hard after thee, and no rest, till they may receive that saving knowledge, oh, already a blessing, to receive tokens of thy favor, to hear our life and heart declared, but to hear it from the great shepherd. Lord, where thou hast begun, oh, then we may hear out of thy word the life of the sheep with the shepherd. Oh, that closeness, that communion, that need, the care, the protection, that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Wilt thou grant that simple faith? Oh, thou hast a people upon the earth who oftentimes is given to pray with the Father, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Wilt thou grant the strengthening of that faith for their comfort, for their peace, and for their joy? Remember thy church upon the face of the earth, all those that are called to labor therein. Remember thy servants, elders, and deacons. Remember the student. Wilt thou help him also in this day? Remember the sowers of the seed. Wilt thou remember the classes when it hopes to continue in this week? And Lord, thou knowest the difficulties, the great division in a sister congregation. And to that end, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant thy gracious help? And may thy presence be experienced. And may there be humility, that low place at thy footstool. And then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, also the mourning family, where the funeral hopes to take place in this week. After a long time of waiting, Lord, give unto thy servant some words to speak. May the calling and may thy word be blessed by thee. Teach us all to die before we have to die. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones in our midst, where those empty places remain so empty in all, Lord, when thou wast spared the whole immediate family circle? May there be many a times given to pause, given to consider thy protection and thy goodness, and that it may be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance. We commend unto thee all the elderly ones that have come to the evening of their life. Wilt thou remember the sick and the afflicted ones? And then once more on this Sabbath day, then we may acknowledge thee that there are none in the hospital. That is also thy doing. May we be given to consider thy hand therein. But, oh Lord, it is so necessary that we are brought in that spiritual hospital with our sin-sick souls, and to come to a saving knowledge of the only physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the prophet of old has declared, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is the health of the daughter of my people not healed? Wilt thou remember all those that struggle with continual pain, weariness of the body, the dreaded disease, many cares and many concerns, difficulties of the mind, may we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember prodigal sons, remember prodigal daughters. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, when thy holy word may be opened, then we humbly beg of thee that thou may open it indeed, and that it may be granted that with liberty and joy we may be given to declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Oh, that the shepherd may be exalted to the highest, and the wonderful ways that thou holdest with thy sheep. Oh, thou preparest them for that heavenly Canaan. Wilt thou so go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, all those that are lawfully hindered, when they may list along in their dwellings. Oh, grant also thy blessing there. Wilt thou remove everything that could be a hindrance, the buyers and sellers, outwardly and spiritually. Oh, bind the devil. Give a little rest in thy house, ah, Lord. And may it be a good service, and may it be an unforgettable service, and that with an impression that we have nothing to plead upon, so necessary to be experienced. Ah, thou hast a people upon the earth that sent it away each time by renewal, that ruin everything and are given to extol thy free and sovereign grace. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 317, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. Let all in heaven above and all the saints on earth proclaim his everlasting love. And what follows, Psalter 317, the first three stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 23, the fourth verse, the second part. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Our text words speak of the sheep's comfort, even in the valley of the shadow of death. With three thoughts, in the first place, the comfort of the shepherd's presence. Secondly, the comfort of the shepherd's rod. And thirdly, the comfort of the shepherd's staff. The sheep's comfort even in the valley of the shadow of death. The comfort of the sheep's shepherd's presence. The comfort of the shepherd's rod. And the comfort of the shepherd's staff. Thus first, the comfort of the shepherd's presence. Beloved congregation, we have heard the last time that the shepherd, later in the summer, that he was ready to take his flock through the valleys, up on the pasture ranges, in the midst of the mountains. Then the shepherd has gathered the sheep, has called them, and they were ready to depart. And then for some sheep, the older sheep, they have went that way before. But for the lambs, it would be for the first time. Then when they are ready to travel, then we have mentioned last time a goat on the other side of the fence. And that goat, we were still standing there, boys and girls. Then you can picture that wild goat when he was given to see the shepherd and the sheep listening to the shepherd with the lambs. And that they were departing, of course, a goat does not think like we do, but that perhaps with that goat, not ready to admit it, but that there was a certain jealousy. Oh, young and old, my unconverted fellow travelers, when we may continue to consider this precious psalm of the good shepherd and his sheep, that you may be filled with such a holy jealousy, and that by the work of the Spirit, it may become such an unbearable need that you can no longer exist as a goat lying under the wrath of God, that you may be given to forsake the world and follow hard after the Lord, even at a distance, crying mightily, that you may receive a place in that sheepfold, even as the smallest lamb, even if you may become behind, be the last sheep going through the valley, but still to be part of that flock. Because then the wild goat, oh, then he would be given to see that that flock had something that the goat did not have, that the flock had a good shepherd. Then it was also necessary that the sheep in the flock of the shepherd, because the lambs, they look up to the sheep, that they would give a good example when the shepherd would call, that the sheep would immediately perk up their ears and not remain grazing for another few minutes, because that would not be profitable for the little lambs when they would be given to behold the sheep, when they would act in such a way. Also precious instruction, when the Lord willing, tomorrow evening, the catechism classes hope to resume, then fathers and mothers, then the consistory need your support, your encouragement, that you may show interest what your children, the students, are studying, that you may be given to ask, to speak, and also do diligence in their memorization. Then concerning ready to enter the valley of the shadow of death, many dangers for the sheep. There would be downward ways, hills of difficulties, and then how necessary for the flock, and that not only necessary when ready to travel through the valley of the shadow of death, but what a privilege it is when it may be continually experienced by the flock, that close, that tender, and that dependent life. And therefore the Good Shepherd, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has given much instruction, has given many prayers for the flock. Psalm 17, verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not, can even be more dangerous for the sheep going down a steep hill than up a steep hill. Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. In Psalm 42, verse 3, a sheep is asked to send forth thy truth and light to be my guide. Christ has taught his church the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, then many precious exhortations for those sheep. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, we read, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy paths. And in Philippians 4, verse 6, to be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your needs be known unto the Lord. And in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, then in many psalms, by the exercise of faith, Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And now we affirm last time, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and then by the exercise of faith, and the exercise of faith that is a gift of God, the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, and we have learned from Reverend Hellenbroek the three characteristics of that true saving faith, knowledge, assent, and trust. And now, in our solemn, in our verse, in our text words, And then we are given to read of the reasons, because how can the sheep, even the little lamb, before the valley of the shadow of death, how could they so boldly say, I will fear no evil? Then the answer is given, and that is a threefold answer, because our words, they begin with four, for thou art with me. Then concerning the natural shepherd, then of course there were times that the shepherd, on a wider path than our boys and girls can understand it, then the flock could all be closer to the shepherd, all follow close after the shepherd, but then there were those narrow paths where only a single sheep can walk. Then there were those closer to the shepherd. Then there were those at the back. But still the psalmist is given to declare concerning the sheep. Of course, the natural shepherd is only a faint type of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord is omnipresent. Do we not read in Psalm 139 that the Lord is present everywhere, and therefore the sheep may say, for thou art with me. For the sheep, it was such a comfort, it was such a present, such a comfort, for the sheep with that knowledge when they went through the valley of the shadow of death, that the shepherd was close by, that the shepherd was present, that would be seen by the wolf and by the bear. Oh, for that shepherd that has traveled that pathway before, because the good shepherd, he has truly went through the valley of the shadow of death. When we mention the three G's, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what a valley of the shadow of death that was. When we think of Gabbatha, where he was brought in the courtroom, where he was mocked, where he was reviled, where he was judged. When we think of Golgotha, when he was crucified, then the shepherd could truly say that he has went through the valley of the shadow of death, not for his own sins, but out of love for his sheep, that they may not succumb, that they shall not perish in the valley of shadow of death. The good shepherd, then he has purchased his sheep for body and for soul. And now the comfort of the sheep, for those sheep and for those lambs, and then it would be such an unthinkable thought, such a terrible thought. No, if the shepherd had not called to follow them also through the valley, then they would never dare. Then they would remain in the lowlands where the pastures became dry, where it would become thirsty. But now the shepherd, the sheep in our text, may be given to testify, for thou art with me. Then the sheep may trust in the power of the shepherd, because the enemies, they are so afraid of the shepherd, then they shall not attack the sheep. Then thou art with me with thy wisdom, where the shepherd doeth all things well, even when he leadeth them through the valley of the shadow of death. Thus, when we read in our text, for thou art with me, then it is explained, Emmanuel, Isaiah 7, verse 14, and a virgin shall conceive, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And how has the good shepherd and now become Emmanuel for his sheep? He has become that Emmanuel already in the Council of Peace, when he has given himself and that he was willing to be that good shepherd that may give us life for a sheep, and then he has become the Emmanuel for his people when he has assumed our human nature, when he has become that mediator, the mediator between God and man, when he is tabernacled among the children of men, when he has obeyed the law, when he has suffered, when he has died, all there for when the sheep, when they may be led into those mysteries, because it goes not outside of the justice of God. When the Lord works by His Spirit, young and old, then we have much to do, also with His goodness, but also with the justice of God. That justice must be satisfied. And now the psalmist David may say as a sheep, "For thou art with me." And that is because the good shepherd has harmonized and glorified all the attributes of his Father. He has brought about that reconciliation. Then he is the Prince of Peace. And therefore, what a precious proclamation of the sheep in our text words. Oh, in the most difficult trials, the most great impossibilities, then the sheep may say, "Oh, looking at that good shepherd, for thou art with me." That is a mark of grace. When the Lord works, that becomes the desire of such a soul. Oh, to experience that the Lord knoweth of them, then that sheep, that people is filled with such a holy jealousy, and I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, young and old. As a congregation, how shall we know whether the Lord is with us in special ways? What do you think, boys and girls? That shall be when it shall be heard among our youth, among our children, among the middle-aged and the older ones, that the Lord works lovingly and mightily with the Spirit. Oh, that lambs are born in Zion, and that souls are filled with a holy jealousy, when there shall be a forsaking of the world and the ways thereof, when there shall be a crying unto the Lord. Oh, the Lord is with us when false foundations are uncovered, when there are those that think they are a sheep, but when the Lord reveals it to us that they are still a goat, and that they are converted, that they indeed become a sheep, and that becomes manifest that the Lord is with us when the Lord grants unto His people those further leadings. Oh, the exercise of faith, the strengthening of faith concerning that good shepherd, how they may see, how they may understand, how they may learn, how it is possible that thou art with me. That is through the precious work of the good shepherd. I read of that old Zacharias in Luke 1 verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. Our second thought, the comfort of the shepherd's rod. A shepherd, boys and girls, I think you know it, many times you see him with a staff, a long stick with a crook, and with a bend, a symbol of a shepherd. But in olden days, then a shepherd also had a rod. In our day, they have a gun. And they tell us that in eastern countries, that many times in a shepherd's family, that a young boy, father would go with him, and that they would find a young sapling and take it out and where that young tree enters the ground, where their roots are, there is a bulge, and that that young shepherd's boy, that he would carve that tree and make a rod, a stick, with a ball at the end. And then such a shepherd's boy, he would spend many hours practicing with that rod, throwing that rod, that he could hit a target very precisely. Also necessary for our children, of course, not with a rod, but that with your studies, that you are diligent and that you do your best. So a shepherd, many times also a bag, water, food, knife, other necessary things. But we read in our text words of the rod and of the staff. And now the rod, that is a symbol of authority and of power. Thus that rod that points especially to the kingly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 110, Messianic Psalm, where there is first spoken, the Lord has said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy enemies my footstool. And then in verse 2, the Lord shall send his rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule them in the midst of thine enemies. And then in the fourth verse, speaks of the priestly office of Christ after the order of Melchizedek. Thus the foundation of that kingly office, that is the priestly office that the good shepherd has laid down his life for his sheep. Because if that would had not taken place, then the shepherd would not have sheep to rule. And now concerning this rod, then it is important whose hand that the rod is in. Necessary for the sheep to see it, to discern it, and also for the sheep in the providence of the Lord. When the rod comes upon us in the way of trials and difficulties, then it is necessary that the sheep have light to discern who was holding the rod. We think of Job when he was severely afflicted by the rod. Then it was necessary that Job would be instructed. We think of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. Christ has restrained them. And then when they were in the middle of the sea, a great storm has come upon them. Then many times it can be the question, we know the Lord, he stands over everything. But we read of a Job that it was Satan that has afflicted under the permission of the Lord. Thus concerning that rod, that also has a relationship to the justice of God. And now concerning that rod, also in the way of discipline, then it is a difference for the sheep, what they have done, how they see that rod. To give an example for our children to make it a little simpler to understand, if you have now a father that has a store, and there come robbers to rob that store, and he calls the policeman, and the police come, then the owner of the store, they look different upon the policeman. Because if we do nothing wrong, then the police are there for our good. But if we are a thief, then we fear the policeman. So then it depends who holds that rod. And now the sheep is not only given to speak of the rod, but given to see that the good shepherd, that he holds that rod in his hand. And to that end, he may say that the rod, because we read in our text, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thus the rod that is a symbol of power and authority. In the second place, then we may say that that rod, as it were, that is an extension of the right hand of the shepherd, because the shepherd can only reach so far. But with the throwing of that rod, then that exceedeth much further. Also, when there is a wolf or a wild animal, then he shall throw that rod to destroy the enemy. We also read in the Bible, in Isaiah 11, verse 4, the rod of his word. Thus then we may also explain the rod as the execution of his holy word. Think of the rod of Moses. The Lord has told him with that rod different times for the execution of the plagues. He has stretched it over the Nile. It became blood with more plagues, and also with the dividing of the Red Sea. Then we read that Moses has used the rod. Thus, when we speak of the rod that is a rod of power, a rod of authority, but that is also the rod of his word. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, when the devil has come to tempt him with three temptations. Then Christ has used that rod to defeat Satan, the enemy, has said, it is written, again it is written, and with the last temptation, thus saith the Lord. And now concerning that use of the rod, we have already spoken of the enemy, the wild animals, where the shepherd may use that rod to destroy them. But the rod that also points to discipline. We read in Proverbs different times that Solomon must be used in a loving way, but that it is necessary when a child does wrong and that the rod is used. And also for the sheep and even the lambs, then there is that necessity that the shepherd uses his rod to discipline his sheep. And it is a blessing when there is a sheep that even begins to go astray or even has a thought to do something wrong, that the shepherd may immediately come with his rod and discipline such a sheep. Send a Nathan, and thou art the man. And the sheep and lambs, they learn that that is necessary although not easy for the flesh, because they read in Hebrews 12, verse 11, now no chastening for the present is joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it beareth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Thus the necessity and the blessing of that rod, that the sheep may be disciplined. And that is all done in love by the good shepherd. And then further, then we also read concerning that rod, that it was used to count the sheep. We read thereof in Leviticus 32, verse 33, that all the sheep and the lambs, certain times, we would say a narrow shoot, we shall speak in the way we have it in our day, and that the sheep single file, they pass the shepherd, and then we read that he puts a mark, Jewish tradition even say with red dye, that the shepherd counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then every 10 sheep receives a mark. And that sheep was for the Levites, that sheep would be sacrificed. So concerning the way and the path that the good shepherd holds with the sheep, that speaks of the sovereignty of the shepherd, the freeness thereof, the way, the blessings, the tribulations, the trials, that come upon the sheep. Thy rod, they comfort me. And then by renewal congregation, oh, has that become our question and our need? Are there those that are filled with such a holy jealousy? Oh, that the past weeks, not this moment, have sent up many a sigh in church. Lord, I am now still a goat. Still my desires go out after the world, the things thereof. I am still outside, excluded. But, O Lord, wilt thou by thy free and sovereign grace make me now a sheep? Oh, then I'm willing to bow under that rod. Oh, I have made myself 1,000 times worthy that I would be cast away in hell, but I am still in the precious day of grace. And then the callings in God's word to repent, to believe. Isaiah 55, the verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. For with the Lord there is still mercy. There is still room in the sheepfold. There are still those that must and shall be gathered. May the prayers be multiplied. Let us sing. Psalter 330, the four stanzas. Thou who didst make and fashion me, O make me wise thy law to learn. Then they that fear thee shall be glad, when they my hope, by hope in God discern. And what follows, 330, the four stanzas. the sheep's comfort, even in the valley of the shadow of death. The comfort of the shepherd's presence, the comfort of the shepherd's rod. And concerning that rod, much could be spoken about that rod, that it is necessary for the sheep that they are given to see what is written on that rod, the reason, because until that is seen for the sheep, then it shall not be profitable that they may be given to see who holds that rod, that it is in love. The many lessons that are learned under the rod of patience and submission, and the blessing when on the end of that rod there may be a little honey, because the psalmist has said, it is good that I have been afflicted, that it is used for the profit of the sheep. But now thirdly, the comfort of the shepherd's staff. Then we have told you, boys and girls, that a staff that is not so strong, a shepherd shall not use a staff to beat a wild animal over its head, because then the staff shall break. That staff has a crook or a bend at the end, and that is for a purpose. Then the staff that is the symbol of the shepherd and that points to the prophetical office of Christ, he comforts his people because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is called the Spirit of Christ. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called another comforter. Thus, that staff that is used especially to comfort, to lead, and to guide the sheep and the lambs. Thus then, boys and girls, in your mind, then you can picture a shepherd with his flock and how he uses that staff. In the context, in the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, but the shepherd is given to use that staff continually. Then first in our minds, then we shall picture the shepherd in lambing season. And then those little lambs, they needed to be bonded with their mother. And then sometime it is important that on those little lambs, that not the scent of the shepherd comes upon them, because that can be very detrimental, especially for a first-time mother. And therefore, sometime the shepherd with his staff, he turns it around, and then such a lamb, then he draws it with that hook, and then he brings it to the mother. What a beautiful example of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because then those lambs, they are drawn to the Holy Word of God. And I read in 1 Peter 2 that they desire the sincere milk of the Word. But then that hook and that crook is not only used for the lambs, but that is also used for the sheep. Because we have spoken of those many different valleys, the many different dangers, and that the sheep become discouraged. They come in places where they cannot come out of, they bring themselves into those places. But to come out, then the necessity of the shepherd with the staff, and then we could speak out of the waters of affliction. Sometimes happens that the sheep, they come too close to the seaside with the cliff, and that they fall in. And then the good shepherd with the staff, you can picture it, boys and girls, that with his long staff that he has given to reach for that sheep and bring them out of the waters. Oh, what a waters of afflictions there can be. Then we speak of the depths of impossibilities, the bogs of despair, the thorns of hedges of unbelief. It can even be that a sheep out of curiosity goes into a hedge for the other side and they become stuck, and that the shepherd with his staff that slowly and gradually and carefully that they are drawn out of that hedge. Ah, those sheep know what unbelief is. And the sheep learn that of themselves, that is all they can bring forth. Is it their desire not to believe? Oh, yes. Oh, those times, never to mistrust and never to believe not, but how to perform it they find out not. And then further, they can come on the cliffs of curiosity, that sheep, they climb on cliffs, and they know not how to be delivered. Then further, then the staff, sometimes by a shepherd, is also used to guide the sheep. Then sometime to direct the sheep, then the shepherd lays the staff on the one side of the sheep, telling the sheep that he must go a certain way. But more so, I have even read that sometime a shepherd, you can picture it again, boys and girls, a shepherd with a flock. And then there are those sheep that are very close to the shepherd. But then there can also be those sheep that are so timid and that write bitter things against themselves. And when they look at their wool with the burrs and dirty, they have such a desire to be close to the shepherd, but they do not dare. And then perhaps when the shepherd, when he sees such a sheep, do sheep shed tears, boys and girls? When you have sheep, you shall know it. But spiritually, when the shepherd see such a sheep, shepherd knows their heart, with their desires, afraid to come so close, to place themselves on the foreground. They are glad that they may go along, that the shepherd simply lays the end of the staff upon the back of such a sheep, that they may feel even the shepherd's staff, and that they may be glad, be given to rejoice. A token of the shepherd's favor can even be further, that such a shepherd, when he sees such a sheep with such longings, with such desires, that such a shepherd, that he turns the staff around and puts it around the neck of such a sheep, and that he draws that sheep to himself, that sheep may be close to the shepherd and to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. That is the prayer of those true sheep, because they read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, that such a sheep as the bride has declared, draw me and we will run after thee. Then further, they tell us that the shepherd at times, that he uses the staff, and it seems sometime that in the scriptures that that word rod and staff is used interchangeably, but that the shepherd uses the staff to examine his sheep, because our wool of our profession that can cover and hide much. And for those true sheep, they are not afraid for examination. David the Psalmist in Psalm 139, where he has spoken of the omniscience and the omnipresence of the Lord and of his wonderful creation. Then in the last two verses, then the psalmist was given to examine, that the Lord would examine him, and when there was an evil way, that he would still be placed upon the right way. And that is the prayer oftentimes of the true sheep and of the lamb. Because when they look at their wool, and it is necessary, that is another lesson. In the way of sanctification, then it is necessary for the sheep each time by renewal to go to that fountain that they may be washed. But now we read concerning that examination in Ezekiel 20, the verses 37 and 38. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge you out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. Thus with that staff, with that examination, but also a confirmation that they are a sheep. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is the blessed portion of the flock of the good shepherd. And concerning that comfort that is needed each time by renewal, the different circumstances, and especially, because boys and girls, you remember, the sheep, they are traveling to the summer pastures high up in the mountains, and then many dangers, the valley of the shadow of death. But now the comfort for the sheep, the presence, the rod, and the staff of the shepherd, and in the context, it is concerning this journey, but it shall also be when the true sheep is the last enemy, when they are called upon to go through the valley of the shadow of death, enter eternity, then it shall be for the true sheep, for thou art with me. How is it with us, congregation? You can remember, boys and girls, the beginning of our Heidelberg Catechism was the first question. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? Comfort is spoken, that word is mentioned in our text, for the sheep to say, I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that is the Good Shepherd, who has paid for all my sins by his precious blood, delivers me from the power of the devil, so preserves me, not a hair from my head can fall without the will of my Heavenly Father. And then at the end, assures, but also henceforth, maketh me willing and ready to live unto him. The devil also has a rod and a staff. That rod he hides. He shall keep it maybe for the end of the life of the goats, but especially in hell. There he shall torment the goats with that rod. But he also has a staff, not to guide, but to deceive. He covers that staff with velvet and puts many sweet things on the end of that staff to entice us that we may continue under his dominion. But so completely different than the good shepherd of the flock, because all things, everything that the good shepherd does for his flock, even that rod to discipline, it's sometimes a very hard way and a difficult way. But Romans 8 verse 28, it is all for their good. But concerning the devil, then it is not for their good, but it is for their destruction, that they may remain under his dominion and spend eternity together in hell with him. What an awful master. And already in the time, then that master leaves us already. When we come on a sick bed, oh, it is true, even on a sick bed, then the devil will still come with that staff, because the devil, he is afraid that on a sick bed, that we shall start thinking more seriously about our soul and that we pray much. So it can even be under afflictions on a sick bed that he still comes with that staff to entice us to sin, that we think not of the Lord nor of our soul. And then when we become old, then he shall forsake and leave us, can still come with his enticements, young and old. Who was our master? It's an important question. It's a question that needs an answer. David, oh, has written this psalm, has been given to us and our children to arouse to a holy jealousy, and for the sheep to grant instruction, encouragement. The psalm is also given for examination. Place your heart beside this psalm. What is your desire? What is your longing? Can you say before an all-knowing God, Lord, thou knowest my desire, if it was possible, to be a lamb and a sheep that would never sin against thee no more, to be forgiven of all of my sins, to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Ah, the sheep may say, we hear it in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, Paul, he was a goat, a self-righteous goat. But the Lord has stopped him, converted. And then he has written to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Christ has declared in Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Let us close. Lord, who was able to declare the riches which the shepherd has merited and which he grants by the Spirit to a sheep can only be a little stammering. The comfort that thou granteth to thy people, and it is only a little beginning, the fullness that has been reserved for eternity. Lord, thou knowest who are thine. Convert what is unconverted. Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this Lord's day? A grand traveling mercies over the unsafe roads. Press continually upon our mind that we also need to be kept on our shore journeys. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers in this day? Return us in this evening hour. Be the after preacher. May there be examination, and may there be much prayer. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 56, the stanzas 1 and 2. My shepherd is the Lord who knows my needs, and I am blessed. By quiet streams and pastures green, he leads and makes me rest. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The Thanksgiving Day collection brought up the total sum of $626,980, for which we, next to the Lord, heartily thank the congregation. Catechism classes will begin tomorrow evening at 7:15 p.m. and Confession of Faith class at 8:30 p.m. Reverend Nhut is scheduled to preach in Nobleford on Tuesday, October 18 at 7 p.m. And the Paul magazine is at the exit. Psalter 56, the first two stanzas. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.